going to talk about marriage, the ministry of marriage this afternoon. How many of you are married? Raise your hand. Okay, three of you. All right. How many of you want to get married? Raise your hand. No, put them down. Put them down. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. You are our Savior. You are our healer. You are our deliverer. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And we can call on the name of the Lord. You know our needs. You know, dear God, where we are spiritually. You know exactly what we need to hear. You know exactly what our hearts need to receive. So we call on the name of the Lord this afternoon. And we're asking you to give us the grace to shake off the weariness and to give us ears to hear what your Spirit is speaking to our hearts. And God, change us, change us, change our marriages, touch our lives, dear God. Turn water into wine, dear God, where we've grown stale and cold, Father. We pray for rekindling, dear God, of love in our marriages. Let it reflect the glory of God. And we pray that you bless the marriages of this church. Bless, dear God, the households of this church. God, we pray this in your sweet name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Ephesians 5, verses 30 through 32. Let me read it for you. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. It's a strange verse. We're members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. But this is a reference to Genesis 2, 24, when Adam faces Eve, the woman that God had made, and brings her to him. And he says, this is flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Remember, Jesus prayed for the church and said that they may be one as you, Father, and I am one. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. That's Ephesians 5, verses 30 through 32. I believe I stand on good, solid ground when I say to you that in the book of Ephesians, which is what we're going to take a look at this afternoon, the references to Christ and the church, we can apply it to marriage. And that which is spoken about marriage, we could apply it to Christ and the church. God draws a parallel between these two things. Now, we don't tend to view marriage as a ministry. But probably some brothers here can testify that our wives will be faithful to remind us that it's a ministry. One sister is with me. Thank you, sister. I'm gonna preach to you. The rest of you are kind of sleepy this afternoon. Stay with me. Stay with me. Yeah, your wife will tell you, oh, you want to go to Eddie's farm, huh? Worship with the guys, huh? Have a good old time with Pastor Claude Hood and Pastor Carter. Well, I got a list of ministerial duties that you got to do here at home before you go off to Port Jervis and enjoy yourself over there. Amen? And we know that our life is to be given to our wives, and we are to honor them, and we are to serve them. But like every other ministry, the ministry of marriage is to reflect the Redeemer. There's a purpose in our marriage. It's to glorify God. It's to testify of his triumph and to proclaim his power. Our lives and our ministry as a married couple is to testify of the union of Christ and the church, is to be an example to this generation of the glory and the power and what God can do with his miraculous grace. Our very lives, the way we treat one another, the way we converse with one another, the way we plan with one another, the way we speak and treat one another, should reflect the Redeemer, should reflect the glory of a tender-hearted, compassionate Christ who died for us. And all the singles who want to get married in the house are saying yay and amen. They're saying, yes, here I am, Lord. Here am I. Send me. I want to join full-time ministry. I just want to share with you through the book of Ephesians five elements that should be present in a healthy and godly marriage. If you could take notes, it's the first point would be his craftsmanship, his glory. Second point would be confidence in God. Thirdly, communication of grace. Fourthly, the call to be given. And lastly, a commitment to be on guard. Let's take point one, his craftsmanship, his glory. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." This is God's work. You and I are created in Christ Jesus. So when God takes these imperfect creatures of his handiwork and like clay on the wheel of the potter and begins to mold them and fashion them and brings them together so that they could become one, it's a masterpiece he's working out. It's a craftsmanship. It's a handiwork of the Almighty. It's a work in progress. We're not perfect, nor are we looking for Mr. Perfect or Mrs. Perfect. We look for the one God leads us to, and we commit to that relationship, but we understand that neither she nor I am perfect, and we understand that only God is perfect. And if he designed this marriage, it's going to work because he's perfect. Amen? We will make our mistakes. We have our flaws. We have our frailties. We have our weaknesses. But God is the one molding us on the wheel. He is the potter. We are the clay. We are his craftsmanship. And to God be the glory. Only the Lord can truly make our marriage fully, fully satisfying. And therefore, he alone gets the glory. I remember somebody in my family says, "I know why you and your wife have lasted such a long time." And it's not like we've been together. We've been together 28 years. But God, go ahead, you can clap if you want to. To God be the glory. He says, because your character's like your grandfather, and her character's like your grandmother, and they lasted a lifetime together. And because your personalities are like that, you know, that's why you've been able to endure. My friends, I've got news for you. It's not because of our personality that we've endured. It's because of God's mercy and grace. It's because he has us on the potter's wheel, and he's fashioning us, and he's forming us, and to God be the glory. He has the blueprint. It's his idea. It's his design. It's his handiwork. He brought Eve to Adam. He created Eve out of his rib. He made this thing that we call marriage. He takes us there on this road to not becoming Mr. Right or Mrs. Right, but becoming Mr. and Mrs. Righteousness. He makes us righteous in his sight. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We'll always have our flaws until the day he takes us home. And we've got to understand that young people who want to get married, who are thinking, "Oh, where's my soulmate? Where's that perfect one?" You may be waiting forever. Christ is the perfect one. Christ alone is the perfect one. He's the one pouring into us grace and mercy and shaping us to become more like Christ, molding us to be vessels of honor. I thank God for counseling sessions. I thank God for couples seminars. I thank God for convicting sermons. But if they're not pointing us to Christ, they're all in vain. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You may be disappointed because you saw the imperfections and the flaws in your mate. And you say, you see some other people in the church that look so holy, so consecrated. And you think, maybe I missed it. No, you didn't miss it. You didn't miss it. The one before you is the one God has for you. The one you're with, the one God joined together, let no man separate. You trust God, that God is going to work a miracle in your life, and God is continually doing it, and he wants to do it in your life. You may be distressed because you feel the pressure that you have to complete this partner of yours, and you have to fulfill her life. My friends, there's only one who can fulfill her life. There's only one who can fulfill his life, and that's the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's the only one who can fill the void in your heart. And as he fulfills your life, you can fulfill one another. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Sometimes we put so much pressure on our partner to be only what God can be in our lives. God is the only one who can truly fulfill our marriage, so he alone gets the glory. Amen? Somebody came to Jesus to test him, to say, "What if can we divorce our spouse with for any reason or every reason?" And he says, "Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh'? Who can do that but God? So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder." Not even you, not even me. My friends, put your eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of your faith. You take your eyes off of the flaws of your spouse. Take the eyes off of their imperfections and even off your own imperfections. And you put your eyes on the perfect one and you begin to trust God to work a miracle in your life. The one who turned the water into wine and saved the best wine for last. He is the God we celebrate. Every anniversary that you have, you praise the living God for giving you another year to become more like Christ. Every time you go through and you stroll through the albums, the photo albums of when you were young and when you met your spouse, you give glory to God that he has kept you together because he's working out a testimony in and through your life and through your marriage. We celebrate the God who deserves all the glory. Amen. Confidence in God. Remember, we are his craftsmanship and we're his craftsmanship for his glory. But this comes with confidence in God. It comes in line with, it comes joined together with a faith, an anchor in Christ, the power of Christ. Ephesians 3:12 says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. He wants to bless your marriage. He can bless your marriage. And he will bless your marriage. We have to trust him for that. It's his plan. He wants to do it. He has the power to do it. He can do it. Don't let the enemy convince you it's all over. Don't look to your feelings or your lack of feelings. You look to God, who's the author and finisher of this thing called marriage. He has the power to bless, and it's in his promise to bless you. He will bless your marriage. You look forward to a day. You look forward like he looked forward for the joy set before him. He endured the cross. You look forward through the pain, through the afflictions, through the valleys, through the shadow of death. You go through the trials that you have to go through, but with your eyes kept on Jesus. He wants to bless you. He wants to do it, and he will do it if you can just believe him. We believe him for the mission field. We say, pray for me. I'm going to such and such a country. I'm going across seas. I'm going over here to this land. Pray for me. I need God's grace, don't we? We pray for God's strength because we're going to pray. We're going to go to the hospital and pray for someone who's sick, someone who asked us for prayer. We say, God, you've got to come through. Don't we call upon his name for this? When we have to share the gospel, someone asks us to share. Someone asks us to speak. Someone asks us to explain the reason for the hope that's within us. We call upon God, even if it's silently in our hearts. We say, God, I need you. God, I need you. Give me the grace. Give me the words. And if marriage is a ministry, my friends, then our attitude should be the same. God, I don't know how to do this. I don't care how many years I've been married. I don't care how many kids we have. I don't care what we've gone through. God, I need you. God, help us to stay humble before him. My friends, when we think we're strong, we're easily tripped up by the enemy. When we remain humble and dependent upon God, there's no limit to what he can do. Listen to the confidence that Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able, say able, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh within us. Listen to the confidence he had. God is able. God is able to take you out of this rut that you're in, of this despair that you're in, of whatever hardships you're going through, and glorify his name in your marriage and through your marriage. God is able. We've got to believe this. Why are you questioning your call? Why are you questioning if you hit it, if somehow you missed it? Why are you thinking, I don't know if I'm called to this? Of course, we're not called because we're strong enough. We're not called because we're able. There's some people thinking, I don't know if I'm cut out to be married. I don't know if I'm cut out for all of this because I don't have what it takes. You see, you're looking at the wrong place. You're looking at the condition of your heart. You're looking at the ability of your own heart. You got to look to God just like you look to God for ministry. When he calls you to preach, it's not because you can preach. When he calls you to sing, it's not because you got such a great voice. It's because he wants to anoint you. He wants to use you. He wants to fill you. If he calls you to be a worship leader, it's not because you got this thing down packed. It's because you're dependent upon God. If he calls you to the mission field, it's because you know you need him. So if he calls you into marriage, my friends, young and old, he called you into this, then you need to remain dependent upon God and say, Lord, I can't do this apart from you, but I know where my strength comes from. And you're able to do above, exceedingly above all that I could ever imagine. Marriage is a school of faith, guys. It's a school of faith. We're learning to trust God. Oh, I thought everything was going to work out so perfectly because God led me to this person. We met in church. We met in ministry. We met on the mission field. Why are we bumping into, why is this so hard now? These characters, these wheels, the pulling this way and pulling that way. What's going on? We're in a school of faith. God is teaching us to trust him. It's interesting how he takes Abraham and Sarah and he draws them into this faith. He promises them things that are impossible for them. And sometimes we look at Sarah and we say, yeah, she laughed. She laughed in the tent and God heard it. God knew that he knew her heart. But in the chapter before it, Abraham laughed. It says he fell on his face and laughed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Jot it down. Genesis 17, 17, Abraham laughs. Genesis 18, 12, Sarah laughs. They both had the same condition. They needed to believe God. They needed to grow in grace and grow in faith with God. But you don't understand. We met when we were in the world. You know, we met in a club. We met when we were sinners. While you were yet sinners, God died for you. And God knew you and he had his affections on you even when you met each other in the world. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't be deceived by the enemy. Oh, God has somebody else for me here because when we met, we did it all wrong. We did things wrong. But now I want to do things right. No, God is the one who takes ashes and makes them into beauty. Amen? Oh, but she's not a believer. You know, I come to church and I need someone to accompany me in church. I need somebody on my side. You begin to trust God. You keep on trusting God. Don't give up on God. We heard this morning how we need to fight. We fight for our children. We fight for our marriages. We fight. We don't give up the fight. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't give in to the enemy. The enemy would love to have you say, oh, she's so holy. She raises her hands. She's not like my wife. I want her. No, my friends, she's not for you. I don't like to be the bearer of bad news. She's not for you. But I'm the bearer of good news this afternoon as well. God will do above and beyond what you can imagine or think if you would just trust him. Confidence in God. Confidence in God. Much of our strife and contention in the marriage stems sometimes from trying to change the other person. You know, correcting that person, criticizing that person. And we're like stressed out because we don't seem to be able to change this person. That's not our job. That's not our job in marriage. That's his job. Our job is to trust God, and God changes us from glory to glory, from faith to faith, into the image of our Savior. Amen? Abraham and Sarah got to the place where they could believe that he who promised is faithful to fulfill his promises. Amen? Let's move on. Communication of grace. Ephesians 4, 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to building each other up. My friends, we got to be careful how we speak to each other. Even in private, even behind closed doors, even when nobody's there, sometimes we're not speaking words of grace. We're not communicating in grace. And then when we come to church, yeah, it sounds very graceful. Because we know Pastor Carter's watching. We know that the pastors are watching how we conduct ourselves. But my friends, it's a 24/7 ministry, okay? We're careful. Sometimes my daughters speak in a tone to my wife that's not right. And I said, something rises up within me. Fathers, you must have had this experience. Oh, you hold on a second. That's your mother you're speaking to. Change that tone. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And we've got to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit say, Watch that tone. You're speaking to my child. He's a child of the king. She's a child of the king. She's a princess. He's a prince. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We got to measure our words. We got to be deliberate with our words. We got to ask God to put a guard at our lips. The word of God says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we got to put a guard. We ask God to guard our hearts. We got to be in his presence, be in his word. God, change me. Because if you don't, out of my mouth will speak words that don't edify, but words that tear down. Ephesians 4:15 says, speaking the truth in love. And the context in which it says it is to the context of building each other up. It's not about criticizing. These beans taste terrible, honey. I'm just speaking the truth. I'm speaking the truth in love. Oh, that dress looks ugly on you. Go change my... I'm speaking the truth in love. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about edifying one another, building each other up. Amen? Offenses are going to come. Sometimes we misunderstand each other. Sometimes we say things that need clarity, and that's why we need this communication of grace. That's why we need to hear each other out. We need to come back. What did you mean when you said that? I remember when we were a young couple, my wife, when we would go through hardships, my wife would say something like, "We can't go on like this." Man, those words were like a slap in the face, because we had determined never to speak of divorce. That was not a word in our vocabulary. That was not an option from day one where we got into this relationship. It was until the Lord takes us home. So when I would hear her say, "We can't go on like this," I understood like, it's over. You know, this can't go on. Until we began to speak, and I realized that's not what she meant at all. What she was saying is, we got to change. Something has to be done. God has to do something in our life. We can't go on like this. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So clarity in our communication, understanding, respect one another. We've got to quickly run to God when we find ourselves responding harshly to the one God has put before us as our spouse. We've got to run to his presence. We got to run to ask forgiveness. At the 1 o'clock, we heard about forgiveness, and God is calling us to walk in reconciliation and forgiveness. It represents him well. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." Amen? So the next verse after that, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. We don't want to grieve him in what we speak and what we let loose from our mouth. Amen? God gives us the grace. God gives us the grace to respond, to react in a way that honors him. Point four, the call to be given. Ephesians 5:2. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Sweet-smelling savor. We've so distorted the concept of marriage today. It's all about me today. It's about, you know, what pleases me, what is convenient for me, what benefits me. It's almost like a partnership in a business, you know. If you know, we'll look for those traits, we'll go online and we'll find out what person has those quality traits that I'm looking for, and we'll try to match up and find that compatibility, you know, so that this person will please me. My friends, when the Word of God talks about, it doesn't talk about that person pleasing us, it talks about us pleasing them, being given for them, like Christ was given for the church. I thank God he didn't look on a profile to find you and me, to find our compatibility and look at our qualities, because he would not have died for us. Because we're not compatible in any way. We're so otherworldly. We're so apart from his holiness and so lost. But he loved us. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Because he loved us, he gave himself. And God is saying, this is about a love relationship. This is about a commitment to love. This is about giving yourself, not about what you can get. John the Baptist said, "Who has the bride? He who has the bride is the bridegroom." And Jesus goes on to refer to himself as the bridegroom in parables, like the parable of the 10 virgins, in the parable of the marriage supper. Jesus Christ is not ashamed to call himself the bridegroom. He's not ashamed to call you and I the bride, because he knew the price he was going to pay on the cross to wash us clean, to make us holy, to make us redeemed in the blood of the Lamb. And he gives himself for us. The whole gospel story is a love story. He is the most romantic Savior that we could ever imagine. He gave his life for you and I when he fell to his knees under the weight of the cross, under the sting of the whip. He fell to his knees like a man falls to his knees to propose marriage. And he said, "Church of Jesus Christ, will you marry me? Will you be my love until I come to take you home? Will you love me the way I love you? Will you let my love flow in you and through you? Will you show the world how much I love them?" He's the most romantic Savior you can ever imagine. He woke you up this morning. He was watching you sleep. He made it possible for you to make it here. He was your transportation. He guided you. He led you. He's given you health in your body. He's watched over you. He's given you gifts when you unexpectedly, you didn't expect it. And he would give you gifts, gifts of love, gifts of rest, gifts of faith and hope. Everything you need is in him. He has the windows of heaven open to you. He puts a ring on your finger. He calls calls you his own. Hallelujah. He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Oh, my dove, Song of Solomon says, chapter 2, 14, that art in the cleft of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy face. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice and thy face is lovely. He sees you as lovely. He sees you as someone who's redeemed. He sees you under the blood of Jesus Christ, his son. He says you are beloved. You are accepted in Christ. This is not some partnership. This covenant with God is not some legal transaction, some cold legal business deal. It's a love contract with you and I. Sometimes we transfer that mentality into our marriage and we just think, well, I pay the bills. She cooks. I do my part. She does her part. And it becomes a stale, cold relationship that doesn't honor God, that doesn't show the love of a Savior who gave himself for us, even when we were undeserving. I don't know if I'm speaking to anybody, but I know God is speaking to me. God wants us to live. He says it's pleasing to him. It's a sweet-smelling aroma in his sight when we're given as an offering, as a sacrifice for the other. Fragrances, you know, come and go. What was in vogue when I was a young man is not in vogue anymore, right? You go to Macy's or you go to wherever, fragrance department, and you try to find that fragrance for your loved one. And one year she'll like it, one year she won't like it. Then when they go through changes and stuff, they get, or if they're expecting a child, oh, talk about fragrances and how they, you know, affect. Sometimes they can't even stand the smell of their husband. Right? Before it was like, I love you, darling, all sweaty like you are. It doesn't matter. But when they're expecting, ooh, all of a sudden, go take a bath, honey. Go take a shower. But there's one fragrance that will remain the sweet smelling aroma until the day he comes to take us home. And that's the offering of being given, the call to be given. Amen. God give us the grace. And lastly, the commitment to be on guard. It's no surprise that the enemy comes against that which is precious to the Lord. So it's no surprise that the enemy would come against our marriages. No surprise. But the Lord gives grace for the protection of this treasure called marriage. Amen? It says, be strong in the Lord. It says, put on the whole armor of God. This is Ephesians 6:11, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The armor belongs to who? God. Put on the whole armor of God. It's not our own strength. It's not our own ability to keep this marriage. Somebody asked my wife, how do you trust him to be faithful? Do you trust him to be faithful? She says, I trust the God who keeps him. We trust in the God who keeps us. We trust in the God who gives us the strength to remain strong in the midst of temptations, in the midst of the fiery darts and the arrows that come without, even temptations that come against our lives. We trust God. And the little foxes that want to sneak in from within, the things that try to take root in our own hearts, we need to trust God and we need to seek God to protect us from those little things. Familiarity, becoming so familiar with one another that we take each other for granted. And we don't share with each other. We've lost that, honey, I love you. Honey, you're special to me. I thank God for you. We'll do it on Mother's Day. We'll do it on their birthday. But how about every day of the week? God loves us every day. He gives us these messages. He sends us text messages. I love you. I long to hear your voice. They're all over. Every day he sends us messages. So we can do the same. We've got to watch out and guard this relationship and treat it as a treasure given to us from heaven. Amen. It says, be angry, Ephesians 4:26. Be angry. Yes, you're going to be angry, but sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Don't go to bed. Don't go to bed angry with one another. Don't go to bed holding this resentment, giving him the cold shoulder, giving her the cold shoulder, the silent treatment. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't go to bed giving them the silent treatment. Speak things out. Neither give place to the devil, it says. Don't give the enemy a foothold. When we hold on to this anger and this resentment, it festers as bitterness and unforgiveness. We ask God, pluck it out. God, give me the grace to speak with my spouse. And God, I'm trusting in you, because unless you build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. Amen. Ephesians 4:32, and I'm going to leave you with this. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. So how do we armor up? Do we have to, like, go through every piece of armor in our minds, like we've heard sometimes, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of faith and righteousness, the girding, and we go through each one? And no. My friends, how do we armor up? We bow down before God. We submit to God. Every day we say, God, you see the snares of the fowler. God, you know the frailties of my own heart. You know what lies before me. You are the God who called me into this relationship. So God, I rest upon you. You've got to keep me. You've got to glorify your name in my life and through my life. Amen. Will you stand up this afternoon? I'm going to open up the altars to anyone who wants God to touch their marriage, who wants God to rekindle, God wants God to just stir up the flame in their hearts for God, for God's love for you, and for what God wants to do, the purposes of God through your marriage and in your marriage. And if there's anyone who has grown cold to God, you've been giving God your cold shoulder. It says in Jeremiah, they broke covenant with me, even though I was a husband to them. They broke covenant with me. If there's someone here who is backslidden with God, and God has been reaching out to you in love and tenderness, sending you messages, sending you flowers, sending you sweet fragrance of his love, his protection upon your life, and you've been rejecting him, you've been holding on to something against him, bitterness, anger. He didn't answer your prayer the way you wanted him to answer. And for somehow, he didn't come through the way you expected him to come through. And you've drifted from his presence. As the musicians sing, as the leaders worship, just come. Come and give yourself back to the one who died for you, the one who loves you with an everlasting love. God, you're faithful. God, you are faithful. God, this is our prayer, that our lives would represent the one who gave himself for us. God, we pray for these who have come forward, and we pray for the marriages in this house, the marriages that they represent, oh God. Father, we pray, dear God, for this mystery of Christ and the church to become less of a mystery to the world as they behold us, as they behold how we treat one another, as they behold how we walk in sweet fellowship, as they behold how we deal with even the problems that arise in our life. God, we pray for grace. You've promised us grace. God, we're not looking for Mr. Perfect or Mrs. Perfect. God, we're looking unto you. You are perfect. God, and you make all things well. God, you do things gloriously. You do things above and beyond anything we could have ever imagined. So I'm praying for those who are going through a difficult time right now. I'm praying you bring them out, dear God, looking more like Christ, dear God. I pray you bring them out, dear God, leaning upon their beloved, leaning upon the one who gives them strength, leaning upon the one who changes them from image to image. God, we pray for the marriages of this church. We pray that the enemy would not find a foothold in these marriages, God. We pray you protect us from the onslaught of the enemy, protect us from the inclinations of our own heart, protect us, dear God, from the ways of this world, oh God, and give us the power to live righteously before you. God, we pray that our households would be so alive in Christ that our children would see it, and they would see it as something desirable. They would know that this marriage thing works because they've seen it in daddy and mommy. They know it works because they know the God who makes it possible. God, I thank you for this. Bless the young people of this church, those who are contemplating going into marriage, dear God. Father, we pray for that you lead them, you guide them, and that you confirm, dear God, to their hearts the partner that they're to have. And God, you bless them and give them that green light to just do things in God, to do things your way, dear God. And Father, we pray for the grace, dear God, to bring up godly children in this church, dear God, in the fear and in the love of God. Lord, we pray that they would have this foundation. Lord, we pray for those who feel like they've missed out because they're not married. Now they're single and they're raising kids on their own, Father, I pray that you would show that yourself as the husband and as the one who's able to give them all the strength and all the satisfaction that they need. God, you complete us. And God, we pray that we would never run to and fro looking to see who can complete us, but we would find our completion in Christ Jesus. We thank you for this. Bless these marriages with your presence, your power, and your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.